If I was on the outside looking in, if I was on the outside of the body of Christ, the outside of the Lord's church, and I'm looking inside today with the attitude and conduct of so many people today that proclaim Christianity, I have to be honest with you, I'd be a little bit confused. I know by my example, sometimes I have probably confused people. I profess my love for God, my love for the church, my love for Christianity, and then yet there are times when I'm not holding up to my end of being a Christian. I believe that's applicable to every single one of us today. Every one of us sin and we fall short of the glory of God. Is that a fair statement? But I think it's extremely important for you and me to look at and let's talk about Christianity in a whole. I want to talk about, it's all about Christianity. That's the title of our lesson today, and I hope that you'll repeat that with me. Ready? It's all about Christianity. So I want us to see a little bit more about how Christian people should be acting. I want to take you to the book of Luke, if you don't mind. Luke chapter 10, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Something I believe will help set the stage for what we're going to be talking about this morning in regards to it's all about Christianity. So let's take a look and see what's going on today. But first, let me ask this question. Do you agree today that it's a sad situation, but there's a lot of Christians that on the outside of the doors that you would not recognize them as Christians? Do you believe that takes place today? Do you believe today that there are people that would fit the description called hypocrisy or hypocrite? I know that those two words, hypocrisy and hypocrite, I know that I've got the gift of the Holy Spirit. It was given to me when I met Jesus in baptism. But also know that those two words stay right in front of me and they are constant reminders. Jerry, if you participate in that, that's hypocrisy. If you're going to participate in that, that's being very hypocritical. So those words have to just kind of linger in my mind, and I'm thankful that they do. Sometimes I think it's a thorn in my side because I want to, as the human side of me wants to do certain things or be a certain place or maybe be with a certain group, but you know what? I can't because I'm so easily influenced. So I have to keep those two words in my mind. But I want to show you what Christianity really is all about. A familiar passage that will set the stage. Luke 10, 25 through 37. All found? And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him. Talking about Jesus, he was trying to, if I may, trout Jesus is what he was trying to do, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He just laid it right out there for Jesus, and he said to him, "What is written in the law?" Look how he asked that question back to him. "What's written in the law there, lawyer? What is your reading of it?" So what is he doing? Is he kind of giving it back to him, Jerry, saying, "Well, you're looking at it, you're reading it, what's your interpretation? What is your view of this?" Now watch this. So he answered and said, "You shall love the Lord God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself or thyself." And he said to him, "You have answered rightly. Do this," and he says, and here look at the blessed assurance he has. What did he say? "Do this and you'll live." But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, "Well, then who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving this fellow in what kind of shape? This guy was half dead. They beat him to a pulp. Would you agree with that? All right, now let's go further. Now by chance, a certain priest. Now, let me stop that part. Is it okay to say to you today that the Bible says, now a certain priest came down that road? Can I say to you not to interpret the Bible, because the Bible needs no private interpretation, but am I fair to say a religious person? Would that be all right? To say this religious person, this priest, now watch this, came down the road, and when he saw him, what does the Bible say that this religious person did? Passed by on the other side. What should have been his very first thought as a Christian, if we're putting it down in our lesson today? Should he have stopped and ministered to him? Should he have stopped and said, "Hey, what can I do to help you?" But that's not what he did, Darlene. The Bible says this certain priest, this religious man, came down the road. When he saw him, he does what so many people do today. He went on the other side. And what did he do? And he avoided the whole situation. What are we doing today? Are we doing the same thing when we see that there's a need in the Lord's kingdom? When we see that there's a need in someone's life? When we see that there is something dire taking place, are we passing by on the other side? when we see that there's problems in our walk with Christ, when we recognize error in certain things, are we just rolling the rug up, sweeping it under, and putting it back? Is that what we're doing? That's what he did. He passed by where? On the other side. Likewise, here comes a Levite. When he arrived at the place, came and he looked and he passed by, he too did what? Avoided the situation, passed by, finished it up. On the other side. However, watch this. But a certain Samaritan, as this Samaritan journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, what did the Samaritan do? He acted as a, very good, Amy, he acted like a Christian, didn't he? He acted the way you and I should be acting this very day. So he saw him and he had compassion. So he went to him, and he didn't do what sometimes people are doing today. When he went to him, he bandaged his wounds, poured oil and wine on him, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and there, what did he do with him? He didn't just use it as a taxi. He took him there, and then he was doing what? Taking care of him. Is that right? He was seeing to the need of someone hurting. That's not just applying to the physical realm of life. That's applying to the spiritual things as well. Do we agree with that? When we see someone hurting spiritually, what are we to do? We're to be like that Samaritan and minister to them. We're to be like that Samaritan and show compassion the same way that this fella did. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will what? I will repay you. So which of these three do you think, watch this, was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? 37, and he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said, and here's instructions for you and me as well, go and finish it up. Go and do likewise. So what is he telling us to do? To act like Jesus. The same way that Jesus saw you and me on the road half dead. Jesus sees you and me because Satan has beat us all to pieces. Is that a fair statement? Satan has came into the lives of so many people and he's wounded us and he's leaving us half dead. But then here comes Jesus, the Son of Almighty God, who gave his blood for our blood. Isn't that right? He shed his blood. He gave his life up on that cruel cross at Calvary, giving us that opportunity at salvation. Brothers and sisters, say it with me. It's all about, the title of your lesson day is, it's all about Christianity, so say it with me. Brothers and sisters, it's all about Christianity. So that's what I want us to make sure that we're on. Christianity simply means following Jesus Christ in obedience, as Velma would say, in faithful obedience. That's what Christianity is. That, my friend, is what the name Christian actually implies. It's not about having it easy with a no-problem life. Some people, and I've mentioned this before, some people think when you become a Christian that your life is just perfect. Spiritually speaking, we're striving for that perfection. But I promise you today, not trying to discourage you, but because you become a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to have transmission problems and flat tires and high electric bills and sicknesses and ailments. Doesn't take any of that away. We are still in a world today that is corrupt. We're still in a world today that has problems. But because of Christianity, because of a tight bond, because of that relationship that we have with Almighty God, we can overcome. We can be more than conquerors. Do you believe that today? So isn't it nice to be part of this Christian realm? It's all about. When I do that, it's a good time to say Christianity. It's all about Christianity. Very good. And Christianity also warrants picking up our cross. In the book of Luke chapter 9, down in verse 23, Jesus said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up how often? And then do what? And follow me. That's what it's all about. I have to think about what the scripture says over in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Cynthia, we know that living a Christian life is hard sometimes, isn't it? We know that sometimes this life that we live is very, very difficult. 2 Timothy 3:12. All who desire to live godly in Christ, you will suffer what? Persecution. 1 Peter chapter 4, over in verse 16. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. So we're to glorify God in good times and unfavorable times. Is that right? in good times and in bad times. Listen, I'm not trying to discourage you from becoming a Christian. It may sound like that with Jerry. All this Christian stuff sounds pretty scary. If that sounds scary, imagine not being a child of God. Imagine not being a Christian. Imagine that's a place that is waiting for the non-Christian, the unprepared. Christianity is about a lifelong journey. It's about a lifelong journey in faith. You remember what the Hebrew writer wrote? In Hebrew 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him, God. For who comes to God must believe that He is, and He is a rewarder of those that what? I'm glad you used that word, Brother Larry. Diligently seek Him. Because there's a lot of people that seek God, but they're not diligently seeking the Father. Folks, you may have a lot of things going for you in your day to day. A lot of things going for you in your life. You may have money. You may have a great position on your job. Maybe you've got great looks. Perhaps you're one full of knowledge. Perhaps you have an awesome speaking ability. Maybe you have the knowledge of biblical languages. Maybe you know Greek and maybe you know Hebrew and you can do those things together. All those things are good. But let me tell you this. But without faith, you're still batting zero. Do you understand? None of that matters if we are not walking in faith. If we fail to have faith in Almighty God, and faith in His promises, faith in His blessed assurance, you're still batting a big fat zero. That is why, brothers and sisters, you and I must walk in faith and not by sight. Walk in faith unto and into our death, according to Revelation 2, latter part of verse 10. I want to make sure that we're looking at this lesson today. It's all about... Very good. So I'm convinced that if I were to ask everybody, starting with Brother Larry and work my way around, and end with Brother Jerry and ask you about Christianity, I believe and I'm convinced that our answers would be somewhat the same, wouldn't you think? Because we worship the same God the same way and we study out of the same Bible. But I have to tell you that being a Christian is much more than a Sunday gathering to worship God. I'm not minimizing that, but that's part of it. And it's more than our daily prayers. Our walk with Jesus Christ includes a walk with Jesus Christ, not ahead of Him. Amen? We're not the one making the decisions. We're asking God to make to help us with that. Is that right or wrong? We're not the one telling God what to do. Now, we are to let our requests be known unto God, like the Bible tells us over in Philippians chapter 4, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Is that what the Bible says? We're to do just those things. But we need to be sure that as we're caught up in our prayers and our song service and our preaching and our teaching, our partaking of the Lord's Supper, all of these things, that we're doing what Colossians 3:17 says. Whatever we do in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus Christ. I didn't partake of the Lord's Supper this morning because of me. I partook of the Lord's Supper this morning because of God, because of what He did when He sent Jesus to take my place. There was a reading that came out a while ago. Stephen did it. Said that He was the propitiation for our sins. He was a substitute, not was, He is. He is a substitute for us. He took Teresa's place in my place up on the cross. Do you realize if Jesus had not done what He did, Teresa, that you and me are hellbound? Do you realize, Amy, do you realize, everybody, that if Jesus had not left heaven, if He had not left the beauty of heaven and the comfort of heaven, Brother Larry, we wouldn't have an opportunity at heaven. It's what Jesus did. It's what God did for you and for me. And therefore, we should do everything in His name, everything in the light of the Scriptures. And we should be setting that godly, Christ-like example, like what we saw with the Good Samaritan, like we're instructed to do in Matthew 5:16. Let your, before, that they may see your, glorifying your, which is the first point I want us to make sure we're looking at this morning. I got to speed it up since we're way behind. I want us to understand that here's what it is. When we talk about, it's all about Christianity. Christianity is not about just a study of God's Word. It's about being doers of God's Word. Amen? I'm not taking away from studying the Word of God. We're commanded to study to show ourselves approved unto God. But I'm afraid that far too many people may get caught up in their studies, and that's a good thing, but we're not being doers of what we're learning. We've got to be doers of the Word. Folks, you and I have to agree that when we're not doing what God calls us to do, that's not acceptable in God's sight. We are to be doers. We are to move. We are to move forward with the Word of God, with what we have in our life. And we are to practice what His Word tells us to do. Folks, the Bible makes it pretty clear that we are to live in and by the Word of God. James chapter 1, would you please go there with me? James chapter 1, 19 through 25, all found. God's Word says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." So when you and I are ticked off and we're mad and we're, as Paul would say, you're showing your hind end, when we're doing that, we're not representing God, are we? We're representing ourselves. When we do that, we're letting the devil have victory in our lives, and we're displaying and illuminating what the devil wants us to do, not what Christ wants us to do. Are we together with that? Okay, just wanted to make sure. Let's go back to 20. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness. Be humble. Okay, the implanted word. Why? Because it's able to, go with me, save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, this one will be blessed in what he does. Did you see the promise that we have in God's word? Do you like it? All right, all five of y'all really liked it. I love it. If anyone, watch this, if anyone among you thinks he's religious but doesn't bridle his tongue, deceives his own heart, your religion is no good. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. I know I had to get these last two verses in, or Harvey would be talking to me before I left. Let's head over to chapter 2, 14 through 26. Is that okay? Let's see another kind of what Jesus is saying about works and about with Abraham and how he was justified and so on. So chapter 2, 14 through 26. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can faith save him? Look at the question that's being asked. If a brother or sister is naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed, filled, but you don't give them the things that which are in need for the body, what did that do? What does that profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, the Bible says it is what? It's gone, dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have works, show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and they tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Question mark. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made what? Perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God and was accounted for him for righteousness, and he was called to be a friend of God. And you see, watch this, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by what? Faith only. Not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out to another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is what? Is dead also. So brothers and sisters, it's about being a doer of the word of God. I'm afraid that we can all study the Bible, read the Bible, do all these things, but if we're not putting that into practice, we are dead right there. Do you agree with that? Okay. The second point I want us to take a look at. Christianity is not about judging others. Christianity is not about judging others, but preparing ourselves for judgment. Does that make sense? All right, does it? Okay, so it's not about judging other people about what they're going to do and what they're not going to do, et cetera, et cetera. Our job is to tell what God says and leave it alone. Hebrews chapter 9, 27, the Bible says it is appointed for man to, but after this, the judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us will give an account for what we've done, whether good or bad, the Bible says. So there is a judgment day coming. I have no right to stand here and judge you, just like you have no right to judge me. Because when we do, if we do that, we're going to have to give an account to Matthew 7, verses 1 and 2. Judge not that you be not what? Judged. Verse 2. For with what judgment you use, watch this, you will be judged with the same measure. You use it, whatever you use, it's going to be measured back. So if we're in our mind are saying, I know you're hellbound, guess what? We ourselves are hellbound, absolutely. Now, what can we do? We can see and inspect fruits, can't we? That's a yes. And we can inspect fruit. If you see something going on with a Christian, then shouldn't we address it from the pulpit, from a classroom, or individually? If you see something, if you're looking up here and you're finding out Jerry totally took that out of whack, that is not what this means, then you have a responsibility to come to me or go to leaders of the congregation and say, Jerry's up here saying that baptism's not essential. I didn't say that. Let me clear it. But some of these preachers that don't believe that baptism is essential to salvation. Now, you can be baptized and still go to hell. Do we get that? You know, baptism just don't automatically save. It's the baptism and then the faith that produces the works. That's what saves us in our obedience unto Him. Listen, we need to make sure that we're not in that judgment seat, because that judgment seat's going to burn. There is going to be a judgment, and we all agree with that because we see it in the Bible, and there's no other way around it. You're either prepared to meet Jesus Christ on Judgment Day, or you're not. Your job and my job as a Christian is not to judge others. And not, we can't do that. We don't have that authority to do that. But our job is to prepare ourselves for judgment and help them prepare for judgment. Is that okay with everybody? It's all about... This side's doing good. This side's well over struggling. And, all right, the third point I want us to examine this morning, this lesson will be going to your house. Christianity is not about being a workaholic in the church. Does that make sense? There are people today, and I'm sorry to say this, but there are. I'm convinced that there are people in our world today that think that they can do a multitude of alms, they can do a multitude of deeds, they can be a workaholic in the church, and it guarantees them salvation. The only way that we get to heaven is through Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen? John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the truth and the... No man comes to the Father... Plain and simple. So I don't want us to get the idea that we can come in and that we can teach harder and we can preach harder and we can paint harder and we can put more floor in and we can tear those doors down and put more doors in and we can work around the clock in the church building. God is so pleased. I'm sure He will be pleased if we're being good stewards. But that doesn't give you salvation. Amen? It doesn't put you in heaven. It puts you in a spot to where you're serving the Lord's congregation or you're doing things in the brick and mortar. Maybe I'm just one of those bad preachers. I don't believe that this is a church for any shape, form, or fashion. I don't. I think this is brick and mortar. It's pretty inside here. But this is not the church. I'm looking at the church. Amen? And you're looking at the church. We together are the body of Christ, the believing people that are obedient and faithful to the will of God. That's the body of Christ. We can meet anywhere you want to meet. I don't have to come to 613 James Avenue. You don't have to come here. But the body of Christ is called to come together, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Amen? So this building, red brick and mortar and all this, none of that matters. What matters is, are we being faithful in the Lord's church to our Savior Jesus Christ? That, my friends, is what matters. Ephesians 2:1-9. You can look at that passage of Scripture later today. It is important. Don't take this away, that we work for the Lord. Everybody understand that? Let me make sure I clean that up. It is very important that we work for God. Amen? All right. So we know that, and it's important that we work in God's vineyard, but please don't get it confused. You cannot work your way to heaven. You can't, what's another way? You can't work it to heaven. You can't earn your way to heaven. It's our faithful obedience to God that gets us in heaven. Does that sound about right? It's by the mercy of God and the grace of God. John 3:16, John 3:17, Romans 5:8. Those passages of Scripture show us how much God loves us. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes Him should not, but have everlasting life. 3:17, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated His own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? Died for us. 1 John 4:9, and this is the love that God was manifested toward us, that, watch this, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Verse 10, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation. There is that word propitiation again, for our sins. Listen, clearly, God loves his people. In spite of our imperfections, in spite of the things that we fall short about, God loves his people. His mercy comes down. His grace comes down. His hedge of protection comes down. He's done all of this, and he has sent Jesus for us. It's all about, boy, we are struggling with that, aren't we? It's all about Christianity. So we want to make sure that we understand what this Christianity is all about. I believe we could go on and on talking about that. It's making sure that we are doing what God is calling us to do. I'm convinced today that that is why Matthew 28, 18 through 20 was put in the Bible, where it says, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. I believe that that passage of Scripture is in there so that you and I can help prepare people for judgment. Do y'all agree with that? Mark 16, 15 and 16, same thing. Christianity, the real deal, is not like being it's not being like the people of the world. It's being the people that God calls us to be. We are to have a mind that is transformed, not thinking worldly, but thinking godly, like Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us to do. Christianity, here it is. Faithful Christians will be accepted into heaven in that prepared place for prepared people. John 14, 2 and 3. Unfaithful folks will be cast away into outer darkness where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25, verse 30. Friends, it's all about Christianity. So as we close, do you want heaven or do you want hell? A place in heaven where there is no more pain, there's no more disappointments, there's no more tears, there's no more death, there's no more sadness, there's no more war, there's no sickness, there's no fighting, there's no feuding, there's no theft, there's no deception, no confusion, nothing but peace, happiness, and security. That's what's in heaven. Or you can go to that place where you will be lost forever and ever. Amen. The choice is yours. Matthew 25, verse 46, these will go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous, the Christian, into eternal life. Brothers and sisters, it's all about Christianity. I hope today that you are a child of God. If you're not, let me tell you how to become one. First of all, hear God's word. I hope and pray that I gave it to you, and everything I said to you was backed by the Scripture. Believe in the words that we've studied from the Bible. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe he died for you, was buried, and also resurrected. Upon that belief, it's going to cause us to make, for us to make a change. It's called repentance. Luke 13, 3 and 5. I tell you nay, unless you repent, you're going to perish. And then we are to make that confession. That confession is that I believe that Jesus is God's Son. I know for a fact. Now, I don't just believe it. I know for a fact that he died for me. You know that he died for you. Upon that confession of faith, to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. And then to live a faithful, obedient life unto death. That's what we have to do. Do you agree with that? And always remember that we are indeed. Today, if you are a Christian, but you realize you kind of went off the side a little bit, I've said it before, I'll say it again. We don't be ashamed to ask for the prayers of the congregation. Be ashamed you didn't ask for the prayers. Amen? If there's a need and you need it all, you're welcome to come right now together.